Welcome to Order Militaris Radio TV, and today's show is probably something you never heard about, because we don't hear much real world history in our classrooms anymore. And today's actual host is Brother Alexis.
Thank you, AJ, for having me on Order Militaris Radio. We're going to talk about a Catholic dynasty. We've done programs on Catholic leadership, Catholic activism, what does it mean to truly love your country as a Catholic, the need for Christian party. But once upon a time, kingdoms were ruled by Catholic kings, and dynasties, single families ruled for centuries the same nation or kingdom. And they gave us wonderful examples of Catholic leadership in an age when everything was Catholic and we didn't have all these lies that we're forced to live by. So one of these dynasties is from Poland, and it's called the Piast dynasty. So that's what our program is today. And I'm going to interview AJ, since he's actually related by marriage and blood to members of this family. So first of all, why is it called the Piast dynasty? Where does it get this name?
Well, the early dukes and kings of Poland are said to have regarded themselves as descendants of the semi-legendary Piast the Wheelwright, first mentioned in the Chronicle of Gesta Ducum Servae Principum Polonorum, or Chronicles and Deeds of the Dukes and Princes of Poles, written in, 1113 by Gallius Anonymous. However, the term Piast dynasty was not applied until the 17th century. In a historical work of the expression, Piast dynasty was introduced by the Polish historian Adam Norwijczyk. It is not documented in contemporary sources.
Okay, so by the name Piast dynasty, we're referring to the first royal dynasty of the Kingdom of Poland?
Yep.
And how did this dynasty begin? What is its history?
The first Piast, probably of Poland descent, appeared around 940 in the territory of Greater Poland at the stronghold of Gietz. Shortly afterwards, they relocated the residence to Janicko, where Prince Mieszko I ruled over the Civitas Szyszka from about 960. The name Polani, from Slavic, Pol, field, did not appear until 1015. The Piast temporarily also ruled over Pomerania, Bohemia, Lusatia, as well as Ruthenia, and the Hungarian Spiss region in the present-day Slovakia. The ruler bore the title of a duke or a king, depending on their position of power. The Polish monarchy had to deal with the expansionist policies of the Holy Roman Empire, and in the West, resulting in checkered coexistence with Piast rulers like Mieszko I, Kazimir I, the Restorer, Władysław I, Herman, trying to protect the Polish state by treaties, oaths of allegiances, and marriage alliances with the Imperial Ottoman and the Salian dynasties. The Bohemian Pemuscid dynasty and the Hungarian Arpads and their Anjou successors, the Kievan Rus, later also the state of the Teutonic Order, and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania, were mighty neighbors.
So the Piast began as the dynasty before the country was even Christian. How was it that Poland became Catholic then?
The baptism of Poland refers to the ceremony when the first ruler of the Polish state, Mieszko I, and much of his court converted to the Christian religion. Mieszko's wife, Dobra of Bohemia, a zealous Christian, played a significant role in promoting Christianity in Poland. might have had a significant influence of converting Miskio himself, but it is also the baptism mission in the two major cities of Jedinstvo and Pozdan, which the baptism of Miskio and his court spread throughout the country. During the 10th and 11th centuries, the various ecclesiastical organs were established in Poland. This included the building of churches and the appointed of clergy. The first bishop of Poland, Jordan, was appointed by Pope John XIII in 968. His son, Boleslav I, Chiobri, supported Christianization missions to neighboring lands, notably the mission of future Saint Albert of Prague to Old Prussians, and established the Archbishopric of Jedinstvo in the year 1000.
So it was through the mediation of a woman that Poland came to the Catholic faith. I think that shows us something important about Polish faith, and we'll come back to that theme. So who were the kings of the Piast dynasty, and how long did this dynasty rule the kingdom of Poland?
Let's see here. First known duke is Mieszko the First. And the next one is Choskio. He was reigned in the 9th century. Even says the person who they have to name from, son of Choskio, is the actual P.S., the wheelwright, the actual person, also the 9th century. Siemowit, he was a semi-ruler of the Polans. When they mean Polans, folks, is not how they spell it today. Back then it was P-O-L-A-N-S.
Polans.
Mm-hmm. He was the son of Piast the wheelwright and Queen Brzezpecka. Also the 9th century.
By 9th century, you mean the 900s?
Yep.
Okay, that's the 10th century.
Okay. Let's make sure. Don't even give them a date. So that's why they're labeling that. Okay.
What is the first Piast we know when he was born and when he died?
That'd be the Piast the wheelwright, that the man who gave him the name of the dynasty. Mm-hmm. See when he died. See, Piast the wheelwright was born 740 and mm-hmm. died 861.
That's a long life.
Yeah.
And after Mieszko, who became Catholic, who succeeded him?
I mean, Boleslav the First, the Brave.
And was he called Duke of Poland or a King of Poland?
He was called Duke of Poland on 18th of April, 1005. But by the time he died in June 17th, 1025, he was first crowned king.
So he's the first king of Poland. Most people don't know the word duke. It has a general meaning of leader, and so it's a name of many native rulers, because the Poles considered themselves a tribe in the beginning. So who succeeds the first king of Poland, and when did the Piast dynasty no longer hold the kingdom?
Let's see. Next one is Mieszko the Second Lambert. Son of Boleslav the First, and his mom is Nidilda of Lusata. He was Rain started in 1025 and ended in 1031.
And he was succeeded by?
Yesterin. He only had a like about a 1 year reign from 1031 to 1032.
And after him came
Otto Boleslavic. He only lived 33 years, so he only reigned about 1 year. Mm-hmm. And the next one is Theodoric. Another 1 year reign. And Mischel II Lambert is restored to the throne. Reigns for another 2 years. Boleslav the Forgotten reigned for a year. And Casimir the First the Restorer. He was born June 25th, 1016, died November 28th, 1058. His reign was from 1039 to 1058, so a good long reign. Then Boleslav the Second, the Bold. He was made Duke on 1058, ended 1076 as Duke, then was crowned King in 1076 and finished up as king on 1079 and died about 2 years after that. Then Władysław the First Herman reigned as king 1079 to 1102. Zebinio reigned as king 1102 to 1107. Boleslav the Third Wearymouth, Duke, reigned as 1107 to 1138. Now we get into the High Dukes of Poland. Władysław the Second, the Exile, 1138 to 1146. Then Boleslav the Fourth, the Curly, 1146 to 1173. Mieszko the Third, the Old, 1173 to 1177. Casimir the Just is 1177 to 1190. Mieszko the Third, the Old, didn't even make it a year, 1190 to 1190. But died 13th of March 1202. And back to Casimir the Just. He finished out the reign of the Mieszko the Third, 1190 to 1194, when he died. Lesk the First, the White, 1194 to 1198. And then back comes Mieszko the Third, the Old, 1198, 1199. And back comes Lusk, the first light for one more year. Then again, Miss Gil the Third and the Old returns and serves from 1199 to 1202 when he dies in the 13th of March.
So that brings us up to about the time of St. Francis, who was alive about in those years. How many who were the great members of the PS dynasty after this, the ones who reigned the longest?
The only one that's named great is Casimir III the Great. He was born April 30th, 1310, died November 5th, 1370. He reigned 1333 to 1370. He built a lot and founded the University of Krakow.
He had a difficult reign because the Black Death struck Europe in those years of his reign. Yeah. Many, many people died. Who are some of the other famous Piasts in more recent centuries after the time of St. Francis?
After... That would, the last one would have been Jadwiga.
And what makes Jadwiga, I believe she's a saint, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
And what made her such a great member of the family, even though she was the last to reign as in Poland? What does she do for Poland that really is remarkable? First, let's begin. When did she live?
around 1373 and died July 17, 1399.
And how does she become Queen of Poland? Who was her father, and how did she become Queen of Poland?
She is the daughter of Louis the Great, King of Hungary and Poland. And his wife, Elizabeth of Bosnia. Her two grandmothers were also of the PS dynasty. And so she had the most Polish blood of any that they could find. And so she was made first Queen of Poland. Then, let's see here. She was then crowned king in Poland's capital of Krakow on October 16, 1384.
And you might call Saint Jadwiga the patron saint of prenuptial agreements because of what she achieved in her marriage. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah. That's it. Jadwiga and Jogalla signed the Union of Krio in August 1385. And him and his all of his subjects, which is all of Lithuania. They were still pagan at the time. And to be married to Jadwiga, they all had to be converted and baptized.
So she achieved something that the Teutonic Knights, after centuries of fighting, could not achieve. Mm-hmm. And Lithuania wasn't a tiny country back then, it owned most of the Ukraine. Do you actually have a copy of that agreement that you could read some of the passages from it? Give people an idea what a prenuptial agreement between a Catholic queen and a pagan in the 14th century looked like. And
yeah,
she shows us a wonderful example of Catholic leadership in her prenuptial agreement. And so maybe read the whole thing, because it's a really a beautiful document.
Yeah. We Jagiello, by the grace of God, the Grand Duke of Lithuania and the Lord and natural heir to the Ruthenia, hereby let it be known to all for whom it be appropriate, and whomever may inspect the present document, that from the most serene princess, by the grace of God, Elisaveta of Bosnia, the Queen of Hungary, Poland, Dalmatia, etc., we have received a memorial through the intermediacy of honorable and noble gentlemen, to wit, Stefan the Provost of Sisnad, Boleslav the son of Gacchus de Kaza, Castellan of Potok, Wodoko, Cupbearer of Krakow, Mikolaj, Castilian of Zdzisław, Christian, the protector of Kazmierz, and thus this said, firstly, how the magnificent ruler Jagiello, the Grand Duke of Lithuania, etc., dispatched his dignified diplomatic envoys to the lords of Poland, and subsequently to her Royal Majesty, and those envoys who had been sent to Her Royal Majesty took with them credentials from even more dignified, honorable, and excellent envoy, namely the illustrious Prince Skirgello, the brother of Lord Jagiello, the Grand Duke. And yet, for certain reasons, they were unable to appear before Her Royal Majesty in person. Yet his messengers, the Dukes, Boris Nahanko, Staros of Wilno, presented the matter to the same Queen of Hungary and said thus: although there have been many emperors, kings, and various princes who have striven and aspired and desired to contract perpetual relationships with the same Grand Duke of Lithuania, Almighty God has preserved any such deed until the present day for thine own very royal majesty. Therefore may thy majesty, most serene princess, for this most salvific plan, acknowledge the same lord and grand duke as your son, consent that he be joined into lawful matrimony with thine own most beloved daughter, the most illustrious princess Jadwiga, queen of Poland. For we do believe that divine glory, the salvation of souls, honor for the people, and the growth of the kingdom shall ensue from this. However, before the matter mentioned, here comes the fruition. Jagiello, Grand Duke, shall first, together with all his brethren, we have not yet been baptized, and likewise with his relatives, nobles, landowners, great and small, who reside in his lands, earnestly seek and desire to accept the Catholic faith of the Holy Roman Church. Although many an emperor and sundry princes labored toward this end, They attained very little, notwithstanding their strenuous endeavors. Nevertheless, God Almighty has reserved this honor for thine own royal majesty. In order to strengthen, acclaim, and make lasting this thing, the same Jagiello, Grand Duke, promises to submit and offer the entirety of treasures for the recovery of the land severed from either of the two kingdoms, namely Poland and also Lithuania, but also the condition that the same Queen of Hungary give her daughter Jadwiga, Queen of Poland, as aforesaid, to him in wedlock. Also the same Jagiello, Grand Duke, promises to tender indeed to pay the monies as fixed and constituted by means of a pledge between the same lady, Queen of Hungary, on the one hand, and the Duke of Austria, on the other, to wit, 200,000 florins. Likewise, the same Jagiello, Grand Duke, promises and guarantees to rejoin by means of his own efforts and expenses the lands taken away and severed from the Kingdom of Poland, and in their entirety, by whomsoever hands these might have been seized and taken. Likewise, the same Jagiello, Grand Duke, promises to restore to their original freedom all those faithful to Christ and principally to a people of either sex from the lands of Poland who have been carried away and by way of military custom removes so that by each of them, male or female, may depart to wherever they should deem right by their own inclination. Lastly, Jagiello, the often mentioned Duke, also promises to perpetually adjoin his lands of Luthiana and Ruthiana to the crown of the Kingdom of Poland. Thus we, Jagiello, the aforesaid Grand Duke of Lithuania, shall proceed upon the legislation set forth above and proposed in the way as aforesaid, declared on our behalf to the aforesaid sided barons of the Kingdom of Poland by the aforesaid Skirgielo, our dearest brother, and thereafter. Similarly, in the way as aforesaid, explained by the envoys of the same brother of ours, of the most serene princess, the aforesaid Lady Elisabetta, Queen of Hungary, in the presence of the aforesaid ambassadors, that is, envoys of her lady, the Queen, Hungarian and Polish, dispatched to our Highness, together with the below written brethren of ours, to wit, Lord Skigello, Coribut, Withold, Lingwin, Dukes of Lithuania, in the name of the other brethren of ours, whether present or absent, and relate this to both the aforesaid lady, the queen, and likewise to the aforesaid barons of the Kingdom of Poland, which legation we have affirmed by pending the present seals of ours and of our above written brethren, do hereby confirm anew that the same shall in every way and by all means be dispatched forward. Done in Creo, Monday, on the eve of the Assumption of the Glorious Blessed Virgin Mary, August 14th, in the year of our Lord, 1385.
This is a wonderful example how Catholics should never submit. If Catholics have something that non-Catholics want, then the non-Catholics should be forced to submit to the terms of the Catholic and become a Christian. And so this is a wonderful example of how the world used to be ruled and how it should be ruled. And so she's a wonderful example of Christian leadership. There's some other famous members of her family too, the Piast, and with their wives. First of all, were any priests or bishops?
Yeah. Two archbishops, Boleslaw of Tosket, Archbishop of Esztergom, Boleslaw of Wrocław, Archbishop of Salzburg, then about nine normal bishops, Yaroslaw of Opel, Bishop of Wrocław, Mieszko of Bytom, Bishop of Nitra, and Vesperum. Henry of Massava, Bishop of Plock, Jan Cropinilo, Bishop of Posen, Rokwalik, Camion, Kalimo, made Archbishop of Geniso, only formally. Winislaw II of Lingica, Bishop of Leobos and Warclaw, Henry the 8th of Lingica, Bishop of Warclaw, Conrad the 4th the Older, Bishop of Warclaw, Alexander of Massava, Bishop of Trento, Casimir the 3rd of Plock, Bishop of Plock.
So the family regularly had members who became high members of the clergy. Shows you how Catholic they were. So have we touched upon all the famous members of the house, or there's any more that you might want to speak about?
Oh, not in this house, but through Yagrillo, we get St. Casimir.
Yeah, we did a program in St. Casimir, one of her descendants, about 2 centuries later. The importance of her marriage to Jagiello was she united the kingdom of Lithuania with that of Poland, and converted the last pagan nation in Europe to the Christian faith, because the southern and northern Rus had already converted 3 centuries before. It was just the Lithuanians were holding out. So she has the honor of making Europe Christian. She was the one who completed the evangelization of Europe. It was through a woman. And some of the Piasts were ruling Poland during the Mongol invasion in the 1240s, weren't they? And how did they handle that?
The first one wasn't too good. They were defeated. The Mongols are moving way too fast, and no one had any idea about exactly which way they're coming from. And so the first one was a defeat, I think. And let me get to the others if they're will show. In the second invasion, 1259 to early 1260. Let's see here. The second one was the purpose was to divide the kingdom of Poland and to weaken Duke of Krakow, Boleslaw V, the Chaste. And
do you know how many men fought in the battle? And where the actual battle took place?
About 30,000 of the Mongols and only 9,000 of the entire Polish army, about 6,000 infantry and 3,000 cavalry.
And they beat the Mongols only one? Oh, that was the first battle they lost.
I believe they lost the second one. Mm-hmm. But with only 9,000, the Mongol leaders had to do negotiations with the Poles to get out of the area. This is how fierce they fight the Poles.
Even though they lost, they won by treaty, you mean?
Yeah.
Very strong. So, who was the dynasty begins in the 10th century and it goes all the way until what, the 17th century? Is that the actual last member of the family?
Yeah. It ends with Jadwiga, I believe.
As monarchs of Poland, but I think members of the family went on to live and in smaller titles.
Yeah.
And lesser grades of nobility. So the Piast dynasty, the dynasty that made Poland a kingdom, that converted Lithuania, and set the stage for the modern history of Poland and Lithuania, which became a great kingdom and a powerful commonwealth. And much of the territory of modern Poland today is the former Lithuanian kingdom. So even to this day, has an effect.
Yeah. Says the last legitimate heir, Duchess Carolina of Lincoln-Cambrian, died in 1707 and is buried in Treblinka Abbey.
What comment would you make about the Piast dynasty? What is most admirable to you about it? And what do you think makes them such wonderful examples?
The Piast dynasty is how a country should be ran. They never compromised. They never allowed someone to say, "Oh, you gotta support this country," but no. It's either they support us, they join us, or we don't have anything to do with them. Like, as the example of Saint Jadwiga of Poland. She was a fierce negotiator. She even stopped a war, I believe. We were looking at it yesterday. Her guys were ready for a fight. Went to, I think, what was that one place? And
I think it was Ruthenia. It had rebelled, and so she marched into it. And
yeah, and met with their people, and she just laid it right on the table, and they're like, okay, and they came back. That is how you do it.
She won a war by talking. She didn't even have to fight. Must have been a very persuasive woman.
If we had a leader like that, we would even convert these Democrats.
Yeah, we can see that the modern form of government is actually very unstable. In a Catholic form of government under a monarchy, everyone knows who's going to be the next ruler because of the next in line of succession. So there's no political controversy, there's no plotting, there's no militancy this way or that. There's no way of changing the nation's view of things. The ruling family is Catholic. The country will always be Catholic. There's no question that it'll be anything other. And so all this money and time and effort that's wasted in politicking in modern nations is completely non-existent. The people's efforts are directed to defending the nation, increasing increasing it in every possible way. And none of this vain plotting and counterplotting and politicking and fake promises to win votes.
Yeah. And just seeing this election, seeing how the Democrats are, seeing how the rhino fake Republicans are. I mean, getting your eyes open from Out of Shadows, that documentary, seeing what's going on with this so-called scamdemic. I mean, it just makes you sick and tired of this type of government we have and doing all this research for this show, I was like, now this is how it should be.
Yeah, that's true. Modern governments aren't admired by anyone, so why do we think that they're the best? The Masonic propaganda keeps telling us it's the best form of government, yet we all know that it's absolutely loathsome. So,
yeah.
Any other fine? Oh,
let me ask you a question. We mentioned how Krakow was university was founded. How has it changed?
Well, Krakow University, once Russia became communist, was completely destroyed and dissembled. Once Poland got its freedom, it was restored. But the modern Krakow University is full of phenomenologists and modernist kind of thinkers. And so it's not anywhere the way it is. It's a general problem of universities around the world. We don't really have Catholic universities because they're conforming to either the German method or the secularist methods of education. But it once was a great university, one of the great Catholic universities of Eastern Europe, I think the oldest in all of Eastern Europe. And a lot of great scholars and clergy studied at Krakow University. I think John Paul II himself studied at Krakow. No, he was at Lublin University, not Krakow. So many universities were founded and received royal charters, and Krakow was one of them, one of the great ones.
Yeah.
Do you have any final words you'd like to say about the PS dynasty?
Yeah, I was just looking through the years in the history, and I was like, I wonder how old it is with me. And so I was just calculating, if you include me with this dynasty, it is 1,090 years old.
And you're related to which members of the dynasty?
Let's see here. Bolso the Third, the rear mouth, and I even found his last will and testament.
Hmm. And he's what, a great uncle or a great grandfather?
Uncle.
How many generations?
I think 40.
40 or so generations ago.
Yeah.
He had an interesting last will. He wanted to establish a rule for inheritance in the Kingdom of Poland. It didn't stick, but it was very innovative. What can you tell us about it to show us what kind of a Christian leader he was?
Yeah. Bolesław divided the country into five principalities. The senior province, or duchy of Krakow, composed the western, lesser Poland, the eastern parts of greater Poland, the western Kujawa, and the lands of Siradus, assigned to Bolesław's eldest son and future High Duke, Bolesław II, as well as the lands of Leksinza, were held by Bolesław's widow, Selma of Burg, for life, and they revert to the Senoriate province upon her death. The Silesian province, or Duchy of Silesia, comprised Silesia, also assigned to Władysław II, the Masovian province, or Duchy of Masovia, composed of Masovia proper and Eastern Kujawia, assigned to Bolesław III, second son Bolesław IV the Curly, the Greater Poland province, or Duchy of Greater Poland, composed of remaining western parts of Greater Poland, assigned to the third son, Mieszko III the Old, Sandomierz province, or Duchy of Sandomierz, composed of eastern lesser Polish territories, centered around the city of Sandomierz, assigned to the fourth son, Henry of Sandomierz. The youngest son, Casimir II, the Just, was not assigned any province, and is speculated that he was born after Boleslaw's death, or he was destined for a religious career. A senior principle established in the testament stated, at all times, the eldest member of the dynasty, a senior prince of a principus or high duke, was to have supreme power over the rest, was to also control the indivisible seniorate province, a vast strip of land running north and south down the middle of Poland, with Krakow, the Kingdom of Poland's capital and its chief city. The senior prerogative also included control over the Pomeranian vassals in Pomerelia, a fief. The senior was tasked with defense of borders, right to have troops and provisions of other dukes, carrying out foreign policy, supervision over the clergy, including the right to nominate bishops and archbishops, and minting of currency.
So they had a unique system. They weren't primogeniture. They weren't all authority passes to the firstborn son. Their all authority is in the hands of the oldest member of the family that is still alive. And that's a unique system of government which trusts the prudence and wisdom of those who have lived the longest. Which probably explains why so many of those kings reign just for a few years. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a cross between a concept of monarchy and a concept of the rule by Senate, like the senior members. Yeah. And very different. We don't find that in Western monarchies at all. Sometimes kids ascend the throne. And you could see the Polish system is a bit more stable because they'll never have a regency, because always be the eldest member of the family is the ruler, not the youngest firstborn son. So innovative way of governing a nation there, Boleslav and Boleslav's last will and testament.
Yeah, I like the senior principal when the eldest was in charge of Krakow. Because, boy, we sure could use it today, because we could remove some bad bishops and bad clergy.
Yeah, their system, Boleslav's system, obviously would keep fools from coming to power. That's, it obviously would. So, a temper, youthful immoderation with mature reflection. And thank you for letting us all know something about the Piast dynasty, something we're certainly not taught in public schools in the United States, and perhaps because they don't want to admire us to admire a better way of governing, or yeah, the way Catholics did it of old in Poland.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's way better than what we have currently. I mean, it's better than what we have, what they have over there in Europe. I mean, just amazing. And I found her cross, which I'll post in the show page, where she prayed before in the Wawel Cathedral, Jadwiga. You can still go there and visit and pray before as well.
Mm-hmm. A great woman, Jadwiga. Thank you for having me on today, AJ, for this program about the Piast dynasty.
You're welcome. This is Order Militaris Radio TV, signing off. Deus vult.
Deus vult.